And that's what 1 Peter says in 3:15. It says, "But in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." We must know what we believe and how to defend it. So let's go. Galatians 1:1-9. We're going to really focus on verses 6 through 9, but I'm going to read 1 through 9. So just follow along. I hope that you have your Bibles out and you're going to be following along with me. This is Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. It says, "Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." Wow. This main part, 6 through 9, is usually the part in Paul's letters where he would say, "Hey, I'm thinking about you, I'm praying about you, I'm remembering you, I can't wait to see you," type of thing. That is not the case in this letter. He starts out pretty boldly speaking to the fact that the Galatians are deserting Christ, the Christ that has been preached to them by Paul and others. They are now straying away from. That's maybe why he starts this letter with some important gospel truths in verses 3 through 5. I have those up on the screen. "Grace to you and peace from our God and Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of God our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." That's how he starts this letter. And he's reminding them of the truth that Christ died for their sins. It's very important. The very Christ that they are now deserting and walking away from. Something that is different from the gospel that Paul preached to them has been taught or given to them, and they are now accepting it. Something different has been advertised, and they like it. This is a tragedy. This is a very tragic thing. The gospel deals with our eternal destiny. And when that is changed, it's detrimental, it's harmful, it's dangerous. I don't even think I have a word in the English language to do this justice. The teaching and the following of a different gospel. That's how bad this is. Because if you get the gospel wrong, you perish. You are eternally separated from God. Now, I know you just woke up. You're probably drinking your first cup of coffee. You're like, "Colin, you're the youth, the fun guy. Why are you hitting me with this? I thought we were going to play a game when you got up here. I was unsure." This is the truth, though. If you get the gospel wrong, if you follow something else, if you stray away from the message of Christ in the Word of God, you perish. And we need to know that. It's very important because this affects our families, it affects our churches, affects our neighbors, and it can affect us. And Paul gets that, and he's noting that there is no other gospel. Verse 7, "Not that there is another one, but there's some people who trouble you and distort this message." There can be no other gospel. As soon as the work of Christ is taken out of this message, of this proclamation, it is no longer the truth. And so many different worldviews, religions, people today, and even then, are doing this. And they do it even well sometimes. They say, "You don't need Christ, you just need to be happy, or you can do it your own. As long as you're a good person, you'll make it to heaven. All religions lead to God, you just need to choose which one you want to do." That's what people are saying. Where they say, you need Christ, but you also need to do some good works too. You can't, he can't do it for you. He's not enough. He's not sufficient. His sacrifice wasn't sufficient enough for you. You got to do good deeds too. That's what's being talked about. Paul comments on this later, because this is a lot of what these churches in Galatia are struggling with. In chapter 2, verse 16, it says, yet we know that a person is not justified by works of the law, but through faith in Jesus Christ. So we also have believed in Christ Jesus in order to be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. Because by works of the law, no one will be justified. He's commenting on that. It's chapter 2. If Jesus claims that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one can get to the Father except through him and believing in him, that excludes every single other option that there is. That makes it so note, not all roads lead to God. There is one that is through Christ. It's very important. There were some things we just sang about them as Ben led us in worship. We sang about these truths that were kind of reestablished through the Reformation. And we sang about them in the Reformation song, but it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, that we are saved. It's very important that we get that. It comes from Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that is this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And as we move further down this passage here that we're in Galatians 1, Paul is exclaiming that people are trying to do this. People are purposely distorting this message because they think it wasn't good enough at the beginning. They're distorting it, and they're troubling these churches here. This is a very wicked and sinful thing. They are deceiving people. And like I said, it can be convincing. He says in verse 8, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you the gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. If an angel or Paul himself, an apostle, was telling me something different, I would give it some time to think about it, right? I mean, that would be pretty convincing. An angel from God would tell me something different, that could be pretty convincing, but he's speaking to the fact that if it does not line up with the Word of God, it is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. People can say things, can make false claims in such a way that they sound true. They sound really good. When I was studying for this message, I looked up on YouTube how to tell the perfect lie. And there's people who actually study how you can, you know, hide facial expressions, your body language matters. You can control the hormones in your body so that your face doesn't blush when you're telling something false. How to make a great story that isn't true and how to remember it fully. There's people that are out to deceive you and to tell you something different. And it can be very convincing. But we hold fast to the Word of God, and if we're not careful, we can be deceived. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. What a picture there. Come to you looking good, what they say might sound good, but intentions and the deceit behind it is wicked and sinful. We have to be careful. We have to be very careful. We hold fast to the Word of God. There's a story of a pastor in a small church in West Virginia, not this one. He invited a person to come speak at his church. There was probably 50 people in attendance that day. He was faithfully serving this church for many years. But he invited a guest speaker to preach in the pulpit that morning. And the man started preaching. The pastor of the church was probably sitting with his family, something he doesn't get to do very often. And he was enjoying the message, the Word of God being preached. But then something false started to slip in. This guest speaker was saying things that weren't true about the gospel. He was deceiving, whether he was doing it on purpose or he just didn't know. It was out of ignorance. the pastor was not going to have that. So he got up and he gave the guest speaker a pat on the back and said, "I'll finish the sermon today. Thank you. Go sit, please." I would be like, what? That would be crazy. But the thing is, this is a very heroic thing. The pastor is shepherding this flock of Christians here in this church, and he's not by any means going to let anything false slip in. He wants to be faithful to the word of God. He wants the truth to be proclaimed. So he's not going to have it. And he had the pastor sit down, and he finished the sermon that day. No notes, no nothing. He finished it solely on the word of God, and that alone. That is heroic. Even though I'm sure there was some awkwardness, that was a great thing for him to do. Let's read verse 9 again. "As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. If anyone preaches a gospel contrary, let them be accursed." What strong words from Paul here. Let them be accursed, let them be damned. That's insane. But Paul knows this very well, because if you go down to verses 13 and 6 through 16, he once was this way. "For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it. And I was advancing in Judaism, but on many of my own age, among my own people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when he who had set me apart before I was born..." Let me read that again. "But when he who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by his grace was pleased to reveal his son to me in order that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone." Paul knows this lifestyle. He knows what deceit and what false teaching is, because he was once there. Until God, in his grace, by his grace, sent his son to show him something different, just like he's done in each of our lives. I want you to think about something. Think about the implications if our pastors, if our churches, if people are teaching a gospel that does not lead to salvation, does not lead to Jesus Christ, our Savior, in heaven. If we teach something that isn't, that doesn't lead to that, people will perish. And that's what is happening here in these churches in Galatia. They're deserting the gospel and accepting something that is false. Even though in chapter 3, Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified." They've seen it. They know. They've been taught the right thing, yet don't want it. If you keep reading in this letter that Paul wrote, you'll see that they are almost saying that they got to work for this. I got to do something. Because Paul goes on, he's talking about how you're justified by faith, not by works of the law that we read earlier in verse 16. But this is contrary to the gospel. Work for your salvation. You're no match for the power of sin. You're no match. You don't need Christ. You're no match for the wrath of God that he has for sin. You're no match. You leave Christ out, and you will perish. We are saved because the God of the universe wrapped skin around himself, lived a perfect life, was mocked, shamed, and reviled on our account, died a humiliating death on the cross, taking the wrath of God in our stead. He died, he was buried, and he rose again, and he is now seated at the right hand of God. And if by faith we recognize our sin and repent and believe in him, that he has done these things, we will spend eternity with him. How amazing is that? There's no other gospel than that. There can be no other message proclaimed than that. And there is no other source of the truth that we go to than the word of God to find that. It's amazing that this grace that has been lavished. There's no other Lord but Jesus Christ. So let us not preach, let us not teach, or believe anything contrary. Let us go and tell of his wondrous works. Let us help others behold this wondrous mystery, right? A love so great and a love so deep that we can't even comprehend it, can't even imagine full capacity of it. It is so amazing. But people by the thousands are being led astray. It's something, by something that won't get them to the ultimate joy of seeing their Savior. It's troubling. Hurts me. Hope it hurts you. It's a very hard truth to swallow. But we got to talk about it. It's in the Word of God. There's more than 40 different verses in Scripture that I could count at least that talk about false teaching, false things that will be proclaimed, different ways that people will say you can get to God. Over 40 different verses. It's important. We should talk about it. And I'm just telling you that there is no other way than the way that comes from the Word of God. How amazing is the news of the gospel that sinners like you and me get to go free because of what Christ has done. Not by anything that we did. Nothing that we did. But what Christ has done for us. His finished work on the cross and his resurrection. Just to give you a little picture of what that looks like. Sometimes pictures or little made-up stories help me to get a glimpse of what Christ has done, even though, like I said, we'll never fully comprehend it. My daughter, Jade, Sophia, they're probably watching this. Let's say that she's 4 months right now, so let's say that she becomes 5 years old. And I take her on a field trip, a daddy-daughter field trip to the jail down the street for some reason. I don't know why we would go there, but we're going there. We go to the innermost part of it where the worst of the worst prisoners are. People who have committed murder, thieves, just who we would look at and be like, wow, these are just terrible people. I take her in there. I look at her and I say, I'm crazy about these people. I'm so crazy about these people. I love these people. I hate what they have done, but I love these people, and I love them so much I'm willing to give you up for them so that they can go free, so they can no longer be slaves to sin. I'm willing to give you up for them. Isn't that crazy? It's what God has done. It's what he's done with his son Christ sent down on the cross in our stead where we should have been, in our place. He canceled the record of debt that we owed against him on the cross forever, that if we, through faith, would repent and believe in him, we would be saved and spend eternity in a fullness of joy and pleasures forevermore at his right hand. Isn't that amazing? So I end with these verses that you find later in chapter 2. This is verses 19 through 20. For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Keep going, verse 21. I do not nullify the grace of God, for if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. You didn't do anything to deserve this grace. It is purely a gift from God. He did not owe us anything. In fact, we deserved opposite the wrath of God, but instead, he gave us grace. How amazing. So I hope this message today was a loving warning that we should not be deceived by anything coming in that is different than this. Different. Even right now, you should be checking what I'm saying with the Word of God. I'm a very flawed messenger bringing you the good news of Christ, but you need to find it for yourself in something that is not flawed, the Word of God. It's inerrant, doesn't fail. Don't desert our only hope, our rock, our Redeemer, and our gracious Savior. Do not stray away. Do not desert. I hope this was motivation to press on. I hope this was a helpful reminder that the only place we can go to is God's Word. And I also pray that this was motivation to then share this great news with love and joy in our hearts, telling people of what Christ has done. So if you're watching this today and you don't understand, or you've never heard this before, or you don't think that you're saved, I would just ask that you would consider the Word of God, read it, message. You can even message our Facebook page and we'll get back to you. We'd love to have conversations with you about this. This involves your eternal destiny. And that is not something to wait on or mess around with. This is very important that you get right with God. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. So Baker Heights, let this be the message that we take out to our neighbors, our family members, this city and this nation and this world. Let this be the message that is always on our lips, as it is a tough thing to talk about often. And then let us, when in the face of something contrary, with love, with gentleness, and with respect, we would tell them the truth that comes from God's Word and His alone. So let's do that. Let me pray for us, and then Pastor will come up here with some closing announcements. Let's pray. God, we see Your holiness, and we see our sinfulness, and we just thank You that Your grace covered it all, that in Your love, while being just, while being righteous, You sent Your Son to declare us free from sin. Pray if anybody's watching this that they would turn to You, that they would wait no longer, that they would read Your Word, see the truth, and be captured by it, that they would want nothing other than it, that they would desire You above all else, Lord. Whom in heaven do we have but You, and on earth there is nothing that we desire besides You. Lord, we will fail, our flesh and our heart will fail all the time, but it's You who are our portion and our strength forever. Help us to remember that. Help us to be motivated to speak Your Word with joy. Help us to proclaim this message. Help us to live out this message. Lord, we love You and we thank You. I just again ask that if it be Your will, that You would end this coronavirus, that You would get all the glory from it forevermore. It's in Your Son's name that we pray. Amen.